Nass.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
It's Felger and Nass.
The continued ish
on 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
I'll probably hate it.
Welcome in, Felger and Mass. Jimmy, we up? Everything ready to go? We're all cranked up? It's going to be a little bit of an adjustment here with the midday show preceding us now here at our new studios in Dorchester. 617-779-0985. Felger is obviously out today. Jim Murray's alongside. Marshall Hook is here to give us headlines. And we got a lot to catch up on this re-entry Monday. There was a Jimmy Garoppolo story on the Bleacher Report that just landed. And I know Murray and I are sifting through it as we speak. Murray, did you get all the way through that thing yet?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I dropped around right around 12:30, so I made sure I got my way through it because there's some interesting nuggets from Jimmy Garoppolo on how he felt towards Tom Brady.
Okay, and so we're going to get to that, but I do want to start with Brady. We're going to start with the Patriots, who open up camp this week. We'll get to the Red Sox probably in the next hour because there was some stuff from the weekend that struck me concerning Chris Sale, the trade deadline. We're going to hit on the British Open briefly. I don't know how many people watched it. The ratings were high for the British Open for obvious reasons. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show and some comments by Isaiah Thomas. So there is a lot to get to on this re-entry Monday. But here's where I want to start. Okay, I want to start with a report from Mike Reese over the weekend concerning Tom Brady. Murray, did you happen to see this report by Reese over the weekend?
I did, yeah.
Okay. And in the report by Reese, and it was just he sort of did bullet items on a number of different things on the Patriots entering camp. And again, the first official day of camp is Thursday, Brady an early arrival, et cetera, et cetera. And the first bullet item that Reese had concerned Brady's state of mind, if you will, entering camp. Okay, quote unquote, Brady is excited to be there. Excited to be there. What do you make of that?
He's excited to be there. What more is there to really make from it?
Okay, that's it.
You think that there's something beyond that?
No, I don't. I'm just wondering, does it change your opinion of anything with how Brady handled the offseason or anything? But you're a Brady guy, right?
Yeah. No, I think he wants to be there. I think the OTAs were mostly useless, so I didn't hold that against him that he wasn't there for those. So, yeah, I when I saw that he had commented on the Instagram post late last week saying, you know, he was going to be an early reporter or whatever it was, hashtag early reporter, I was like, okay, all right, he's setting the standard here as he has in the past. I know he wasn't there for OTA, so people want to, like yourselves, want to put that in the negative column for Brady, but he'll be there early. They're going to start working. They'll be fine.
Okay, Marshall, what about you?
Yeah, I was one of those people who put not being at the OTAs in the negative column, particularly because he had always been at them before. Like, if he had never shown up for these things in the past, if he had never been the guy who preached, you know, you've got to be there, you've got to do the work, all of that stuff that he's been known for his entire career, if he had done none of that and, you know, then continued to do none of it this year, I'd say fine, you know, it's the normal. But he had always been at those before. So the fact that he wasn't this year, I do think is noteworthy. And therefore, yes, I was surprised to see him. I mean, there was talk of would he hold out for what? It's unclear because it's not a contract thing. But not only is he there, but he's going to be there or is there early. So, yeah, I think that that's a tremendous development. And for all the people I argued with over this offseason about whether or not that, you know, once it mattered, Brady and Bill would be on the same page. This certainly is a positive step towards what all of those people told me, which was this is all soap opera nonsense and it doesn't matter. When it matters, they'll both be there.
See, I don't know if it is or it isn't a positive step. I have no idea if it's a positive step. And I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy, if you would, let's open up the phones now. 617-779-0985. So here's what struck me about the report. Like, and I think, well, Brady's here. And we touched a little bit of this on Friday, Murray, when Felger was here. Am I supposed to be excited that Brady's excited and he showed up 2 days early when he blew off the whole offseason? Like, I'm now supposed to just forget that any of that ever happened? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Well, you can feel however the hell you want to feel. Okay. I don't know what are you getting at? Are you mad because he's now saying he's excited?
I just don't think anything has really changed. That's all. So this, I think there is this reaction to this report, like, okay, Brady's in there early, everything's been erased, everything's good, Patriots are back to work. It could turn out that way. It could. I don't know. But I'm not, this doesn't erase my opinion of what happened during the offseason. I still think that there were issues there.
Oh, there's definitely still issues.
I still think Brady's pissed off. I still think he acted like a two-year-old. And again, you're a Brady guy, which is okay. I'm not. I mean, I'm not. I'm not a Belichick guy either, but I'm not a Brady guy per se. And when I say that, I mean to the point where I will defend everything they do. So I look at it, great. Tom showed up early. Terrific. But like, how does that change anything that he did during the offseason? It didn't.
No, it doesn't. But now is when the real work begins. Those OTAs, like they don't really matter. I know that other people think otherwise, including Mike, who said, you know, it's going to end up showing in the margins eventually down the road because he hasn't worked with some of these new wide receivers. Like, now is when it really starts on Thursday.
Yeah. So look, you've never heard me say that it's going to translate on the field because I don't believe it the way Felger does. So, you know, is it going to show up in the margins? I don't know. I'll tell you what I am interested in. I am interested still in the relationship between Brady and Belichick, and to a degree, Josh McDaniels, and Robert Kraft, the whole power structure at the top of the Patriots, the dynamic there. If Brady really cared, he'd have shown up over the summer. And when I say that, cared about the relationship with Bill, he made a statement. The whole reason he blew it off over the summer, Brady's whole point was, nope, you're going to get the bare minimum from me. I'll be there when I have to be there, but otherwise I'm not giving you another minute. I'm not doing it. So you guys can go pound sand. I'll show up when I have to show up. Now all of a sudden camp is starting and he shows up 2 days early and everybody's celebrating it like, you know, and maybe I'm making a little bit of a straw man. Some people are celebrating it like, okay, hey, look, Tom's here. This is a good sign. I don't feel that way. And this has nothing to do with me, really, with the relationship between Brady and his receivers and whether they'll get on the same page. And I mean, I think that's part of it. I think that McDaniels, if anyone should be pissed off about Brady not being in camp other than Belichick, who's clearly pissed off, and I'm going back to OTAs now, the guy who should be annoyed, I think, is McDaniels. McDaniels is the one overseeing the offense. Where's my quarterback? How am I supposed to get these guys ready without my quarterback? So if I were McDaniels, I'd be pissed off. I'd be annoyed if I were McDaniels. But that aside, I look at it with Brady and I say, okay, fine. So Brady has shown up. There were some interesting comments that Karen Garrigan in the Herald had over the weekend. Okay. And she asked a question to a number of different Patriots players. How important is it for Brady to be the first veteran on the scene to show up early and get back to his old ways? Okay. That was Karen's question. Matthew Slater said, I think to some regard, it's important. I'd play you audio, but we don't have the audio. I think these were exclusively to Karen. I think it's to some regard, it's important, Slater said. Obviously, as a leader, you want to lead by example. You being present and showing guys the way is important. Then he goes on and says, but I think every situation is different. Every team is different. Every guy is different. It's really hard to throw that in one basket and say it has to be this way. I think there are a lot of ways to do it. Did you read into this comment the way I did?
No. What are you getting out of this?
Okay. So when I read the beginning of it, I think in some regard it's important. As a leader, you want to lead by example. You being present and showing guys the way is important. Oh, so it is important. But he wasn't here in the spring.
Yeah, but the spring doesn't matter. It doesn't. Those OTAs are like fake. You guys are putting too much into that.
Okay, but again, I'm not talking about the OTAs. I'm talking about that when Brady's not present, it's okay. And when he's present, he gets credit for it. So like, well, he's here, so yeah, it's important. But, you know, there are other ways to do it, too. So like, no matter what Tom decides, it's okay with Tom or okay for Tom. You know, Marquise Flowers goes on and says, we know he's going to be there and be ready. Him being there early is not surprising. It isn't? I mean, again, he wasn't at OTAs. He didn't do the stuff he usually does during the offseason. So I find it comical that now Brady's getting this credit for showing up a couple days early. That part I find amusing. because it's like, it's okay if Brady misses OTAs, but then he gets credit when he shows up early. So Brady can't lose. Brady can do whatever he wants all the time, and as long as, you know, he just plays, it's okay. And look, and I get that. I get that from a fan's point of view. But I also think it's reached a level of hero worship that's kind of embarrassing. Really. I mean, I think Matthew Slater, frankly, I think he caught himself in mid-sentence. I think he started to say, hell yeah, it's important that Tom's here. And then he realized, oh, wait a minute. I got to be careful where I'm going with this one. Because the next question someone's going to ask me is, well, but he wasn't here in the spring. So what Slater did was backtrack on it a little bit. And look, the fact that Brady's there, great. Start a camp, great. To me, the story is, and always has been, given the fractured relationship, how are the Patriots going to deal with adversity if and when it comes? And it will come. Because in the past, one of the real strengths of the team has been their ability to deal with the adversity. They deal with it better than any team. And I know I keep looking at you, Murray, but if it feels like I'm lecturing you, I'm not. Their ability to sort of block everything out and deal with the problems and go forward and then overcome them is really their greatest asset and greatest attribute. That's what the Patriots do better than anybody. So I wonder now, does Brady believe in Belichick the way that he used to? And to me, this is all still there. That's not going away.
Hey, you get no argument out of me with that. That whole, like, you know, beef between those two, that's going to continue this season. I don't think that's going to get fixed between now and week one against Houston.
I don't know. It just struck me today. I woke up. Camp is this week. And again, it's an obvious place to go and start because there is the hype of a new season, as there always is with the Patriots. And I think people are just turning the page a little bit and forgetting everything that has happened in the last 8 months or whatever it is that the Patriots haven't played a football game in ever since the Super Bowl. And really goes back well before that. It goes back to the last year and Garoppolo and everything else and not trading him at the draft last year. All of that buildup. There were some wounds there that I'm not sure will ever go away. And so I look at it and say, okay, great. Brady's in camp. Everyone will be there later in the week and they'll get back to business. But I don't think the problems go away. I think they go under the surface. And under stress, they will come out. They will come out. I think, unless the Patriots can somehow rectify them, and I don't know if that means Alex Guerrero getting back on team flights. I don't know if it means any of that. We'll have to see how that one goes. Does Brady get his contract? Does Gronk get his contract? There's a lot of storylines there. But the tension, the stress that was there with the Patriots underneath the surface, maybe even above the surface at the end of the year, I don't think that has gone away just because Tom Brady showed up in camp. Yippee, let's throw him a parade. 617-779-0985. And, you know, I said this to you the other day, Murray. To me, there's an interesting element in this story that may not be getting enough attention, and that's Josh McDaniels. Is Josh McDaniels a pawn in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady turf war, if that's what you want to call it? We'll touch on that next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, obviously, there's a voluntary part of our year. We don't have any control over that part of it. And as coaches, selfishly, we always want them all here because that's, you know, that's where we have the most fun and you enjoy working with them all. But I totally understand those things happen. It's happened here before. And I have no doubt that, you know, he's doing what he thinks is right for him and his family. And I completely respect that. I know he'll be ready to go. I know he'll be in good shape and good condition. I'm sure he's working really hard.
Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, back during the OTAs when Tom Brady did not show up, admitting that he wanted Brady there, just like he'd want everybody there, but at the same time saying what I think a lot of us feel, which is that Brady will show up ready to go. I don't have a huge issue there. In and of itself, it doesn't bug me that Brady skipped the OTAs, but I do think it gives you some sign to sort of where he is now in his career, how he views it all. And I just get agitated with the hero worship, Murray.
No, that's evident. I know that.
I get irritated with the hero worship. Whatever he does is fine. Great. Okay, no problem. Then what the hell are we even talking about? I mean, the guy could crap in the middle of 128 and everybody be fine with it. So like, great. So, but what I am interested in is the dynamic still. The why Brady wasn't there. That's the part that I'm still interested in. And sticking it to Belichick and saying, oh, no, I'll be there when I have to be there.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I mean, I don't think you're reading too deep into it. He's sick of Bill's crap at this point. Feels like he probably got hosed in Super Bowl 52. He wants to have his trainer back around. None of that's going to change. So screw you. I'll see you when I absolutely have to see you, when I'm not going to get fined. So that's why he's going to show up early now and why he wasn't at OTAs.
And so the McDaniels dynamic I find interesting, too, for this reason. That based on reports, and Bedard has now said this a couple of times, that Kraft appealed to McDaniels. We certainly believe Brady had something to do with McDaniels returning as well.
Right.
Which means that it was less important to Belichick. Well, how do you feel about that if you're McDaniels? You're sitting there going, oh, so I'm back because the owner and the quarterback wanted me back, but the head coach didn't really give a rat's ass. Like, at the end of the day, it didn't matter to Bill one way or the other. Like, I do wonder about that dynamic, and I wonder about McDaniels being this quote-unquote buffer between Brady and Belichick. And so, I don't know, if I'm McDaniels, I'd sort of look at it and say, Bill, you didn't want to keep me? I mean, how come those guys trumped you? Like, again, just something, you know, that popped into my head here over the last couple of days. And I think that McDaniels, I wonder about McDaniels, how long he will be here if Belichick elects to stay. I think Belichick's gone at the end of the year. I do.
It's obvious that part of McDaniels coming back is that there had to have been some sort of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, handshake deal that, look, this is going to be Bill's last year and then it transitions over to you. Because if he knows, or if he feels that way that you're assuming that he feels, if Bill doesn't want to have him back and, you know, and he feels slighted in some way there, then I don't think he would have returned. He would have taken the head coaching job and stayed in Indianapolis.
I mean, I thought Bill was going to open the vault of secrets to him.
That was such
though.
A crock.
Oh, God, that thing was a complete load of crap from the very beginning, Marshall.
The vault of secrets isn't coming to Josh McDaniels? I thought it was. And the thing of it is, that also makes sense because what team is now going to interview him? What team is now going to offer him a job and then sit on the sidelines for a month the way the Colts did just to be left standing there at the altar with nobody?
No one now. So,
I mean, he had to know, McDaniels had to know that when he walked away from the Colts essentially a month after taking the job, that it was going to be at least a while and probably not a very good team if he was going to be offered another head coaching job by another NFL team. So he had to know that the Patriots job was waiting for him. Otherwise, there's no way he walks away from the Colts like that.
Marshall, yes. His agent fired him. His agent fired him, not the other way around. Seriously, that's like getting dumped by a hooker. It is. That's exactly what it is. It's like getting dumped by a hooker. You try to pick up a prostitute, have sex with me, no thanks. An agent dropping a client? That's free money for those guys, for crying out. That guy doesn't want to do business with McDaniels anymore. Think about that for a second. His agent fired him. Mike's in Franklin. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys. Listen, I think there's an easier explanation for Brady skipping OTAs this year than any sort of drama with Belichick. And I think it's just that at his age, with his young family, he's got to negotiate with Giselle, got to negotiate with his wife to spend time at home if he's going to be playing football at, you know, the age of 41, 42, 43. So, Mike,
an
easier explanation.
Mike, just to clarify, you think it's more about Giselle than you do about Belichick?
Yeah, but not Giselle because she's Giselle. I just think it's a parenting thing, honestly, and you know, he's obviously super wealthy. They can go anywhere they want on vacation in the off season and everything. But, you know, she's telling him, you got to stop playing. And he's telling her, look, give me two or three more seasons and I'll go play football when I got to play football. And I'll stay with you guys when I can.
Okay. So Murray, do you buy that?
I'm sure she has some sort of influence here. You know, it's clear that she wants him to walk away sooner than later, but I don't think that's the main reason. No, the main reason is that he hates Bill's guts at this point. It's not going to get fixed, so I'll see you when I see you when I can't get fined.
So more about Bill than about family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they weren't doing it last year. He was there for everyone. If this were some sort of family one, couldn't you see, well, all right, go to the first one, don't go to the second one, or go to a couple days or something like that, some sort of transitional period between I'm Tom Brady, I'm at everything all the time, and now I'm Tom Brady who doesn't show up for anything in this part of the offseason. I would think that if it were a Giselle thing, a family thing, those people were there last year. The difference, the thing that happened this year, is all the Alex Guerrero, Bill Belichick stuff. That's the thing you can point to and say, well, that's what's different, and this is the effect from that.
I can't believe that people are still buying this. I can't believe that people are buying that it's a family thing.
Okay. Oh, it's the perfect excuse, because
if
you question it, you're an a-hole.
Right, and not only that, but you'd have to actually acknowledge that there was some tension there inside the walls of Foxborough. Heaven forbid that that be true, Murray. Mike's in Smithfield, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Tony, you got to understand, Brady just wants, Belichick's got to humble up and just apologize and give him a reason why. Their main goal is to win Super Bowls, and he threw that out the window by benching Malcolm Butler.
So I don't think it, but again, the Butler thing was long after the fact, Mike. This is sort of one of the issues that people will confuse. You want to say that the Butler thing added to it, fine. But the dispute over Garoppolo and Guerrero was there for a long time before that.
No, I agree, but I think one of Belichick's biggest problems was he actually thought in his mind that it was going to be okay for him to trade Brady after all he had accomplished. I think that's where he went wrong.
Oh, so look, Mike, I think that he was preparing to go to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think there's any question. And again, there's a story today in the Bleacher Report, or on the Bleacher Report, by June Lee, that, again, if you believe everything in there, validates many of the things that we have believed about the triangle between Belichick, Garoppolo, and Brady.
And it also validates, we'll get to it, but how Bill really did feel about the kid. I mean, there were some hints to it in regard to how he talked about him in that that phone call after the trade, and how he gushed about him a little bit. I mean, a lot of that is kind of confirmed in this as well.
Absolutely it is. Quickly, Billy in Rhode Island. Billy, what do you got?
How you doing?
Good.
Maz, I don't know, maybe you should switch seats with Jimmy. You already got me going. Let's just talk clear on this thing.
So
there's a problem between a coach and Brady and Gronkowski and McDaniels. But McDaniels turned down the Colts the last second. He's going to be your next coach for the Patriots. That's number one. Number two is Brady can't stand being around Belichick. He knows he didn't have to be there. He isn't going. He's just going to wait until they have to go there and play, which is when he's going.
And you're okay with
that? Thirdly. Huh?
And you're okay with that? You're okay with him just showing?
I'm fine with it. Okay. I don't think there's a problem there. Listen to me. Brady's one of the best quarterbacks ever, and he's still going to be one of the best. They got a new team. Guaranteed he'll be on target with these guys. The guy that I'll tell you the truth is the problem on that team is the coach. That's okay years ago, but a lot of guys are getting sick of him, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I believe that a lot of guys are getting sick of him. I don't think there's any question that a lot of guys are getting sick of him.
Well, at least three, Brady, Gronkowski, and Edelman.
Yeah.
Amendola you could have put in there too, but now he's gone.
Maybe Kraft. Maybe McDaniels.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder. Like, I do. I wonder about it. It's hard to be together that long. I've said this before, Murray. Like, when you really look at it, and you say, it's amazing they stayed together this long before they started hating each other. Eventually, you get to a point where you say, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm done giving up that much of myself. I'm done. I every day is a sacrifice. And with Brady, maybe it's getting greater and greater as he gets farther down the road. So, look, there's certain things about how Brady feels that I understand. Belichick's a pain in the ass. Like, well, of course he is. A tremendous pain in the ass. And downright unreasonable. All of that is true. I find it, again, the part that I find comical is Brady's excited to be there. Do you think he really is? Or do you think part of him's looking at it going, here we go again. Season's here, I got to show up now. And I got to deal with that a-hole I have for a head coach. Like, I mean, you tell me, I know, because you tend to see it through Brady's eyes. Is he really that excited to be there, or is he thinking, oh, God, I can't wait till this guy's gone?
No, I mean, look, the excitement's not going to be what it was, well, even like 5 years ago or what it was 10 years ago. I mean, you feel a little bit less and less about something with each passing day, but I still think that he still cares. I mean, the practices that you're, at least the little clips you're seeing on Instagram, I think prove that. I mean, he still loves the game. I still think that he wants to win another ring, but is on a scale of 1 to 10. Is he at 10? Absolutely not. Who would be at this point in their career?
I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting preseason over there. I do, and I don't know that you'll hear any outward grumbling or anything. That's just not their way. And maybe I should say it's going to be an interesting season, because I don't know how much of this really gets resolved in the early part of camp. I thought this stuff was all going to exist when they showed up and they would address it in camp, and by that I mean the friction, the tension. I think it's all still there. And the question is whether or not it manifests itself on the field during the season, because I think there's a good chance it is. This stuff, typically, once it gets to this point, it doesn't just go away. I mean, a year or two in, 3 or 4 years into a relationship, maybe. 18 years in, all of a sudden they're going to forget all the reasons they hate each other? And hate's a strong word. But all the tension points, those are just going to go away? No shot. As long as they play well, it'll be fine. When they don't play well is when we'll see it.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Grappel fires down the middle. For Bennett, on the money. And on time, touchdown Patriots.
Oh, boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw to Martellus Bennett going up the right seam. He brings Edelman in short motion from the left. Edelman gets the free release, so Jimmy's looking at him all the way. And he's to the left, but he comes back to the right, and that freezes at safety, and he throws a bullet to Martellus Bennett right up that right hash.
Jimmy Garoppolo, big story on him today in the Bleacher Report. Murray and I are trying to even sift through it. The thing's pretty long. 32 printed pages, but there's some empty ones in there, right? And some photos and whatnot. Murray, did you make it through there yet?
Yeah, I didn't really need it printed out. We always appreciate it, but this definitely killed a tree and a half here. There's a lot of... a lot of just picture pages. But no, the thing is pretty interesting in terms of like learning a little bit about, you know, his work ethic and, you know, that his confidence is I think, the most telling thing that you get out of this thing.
Okay, so is there anything in particular that you're looking at, Murray, that struck you and why?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of ways in reading his relationship with Tom Brady after he got drafted. So this is from Jimmy's oldest brother, Tony Jr., saying, "You got to look up the ladder and see who's done it well." This was about Garoppolo when he first got there. Looking at who he wanted to emulate. That, of course, is Brady. So his brother goes on to say, "I think he just tried to duplicate as much as he could at what Tom did, and it's not going out too late on the weekend and getting in trouble." Brady and his backup did, however, develop a competitive relationship. After practice, the two quarterbacks would often play the bucket game, which requires landing a football into a trash can in the back corner of the end zone. "There would be days where one of us would win, and you wouldn't talk to the other for a little while," Jimmy says. Huh. Where have we heard of that before, that kind of behavior before? That's right, the guy above him. He goes on to say, "We'd be fine the next day, but it was one of the best things for me. We would push each other, and we got 2 Super Bowls out of it. Jimmy spent most days at Gillette Stadium, did not keep any food in his home during the offseason. Brady would call once a week to check in on his progress, ask him how he'd be working to get better. In the last 3 full seasons, with Garoppolo backing him up, Brady produced arguably the best stretch of his career." Brady, of course, declined to comment for the story. "The competitiveness between the two of us was very similar. If I'm playing my best friend in one-on-one basketball, if we're both into it by the end, we're going to hate each other," Jimmy says. "That's how it is. All the good competitors have that. We got along, but there were times we wanted to kill each other. It was a healthy, competitive relationship." Look,
I highlighted much of that too, Murray. Go ahead.
A lot of this is... It confirms, I think, what most of us felt, right? Like, you got that best stretch here of Brady's career in the way he's played, you know, still coming off an MVP season at this age, because he feared losing his job to Jimmy Garoppolo. He looked at Jimmy Garoppolo, and in a lot of ways, Brady was looking in the mirror. This kid's competitiveness, there was a reason that Belichick wanted to keep him. There was a reason that Belichick talked about him the way that he did after he traded him. He saw young Tom Brady in terms of the fire, that intangible, the it factor. This kid had it. this kind of stuff confirms it. Like, Garoppolo believed in himself. And there's other quotes, too, that we'll get to further in this column. But it just proves, when it comes to that it factor that you're looking for with quarterbacks, this kid has it. He does. So now, whether or not that will translate on the field long term will remain to be seen. I still think that it's more likely than not he'll end up Italian Osweiler. But the kid's got the fire. There's no doubt about that.
See, now, if I didn't know better, Murray, I'd say you're starting to change your opinion on Jimmy Garoppolo.
No. Look, if he was still here, of course I'd want him. I would cheer for him, and I certainly want, the league is certainly starving for another great quarterback. I just hope that he ends up failing, because despite you, and I want Bill to look like he's got egg on his face and be wrong about this.
No, it's true. In that order. I'm sure you want to spite me first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Part of it. So I'll tell you the part of that I found interesting, that Brady would call him during the offseason once a week.
So do you look at that phone call as, buddy, buddy, I'm trying to bring the kid along, or is he really working? Because if he is, I'm going to have to put in extra work, because Lord knows I could lose my gig to this kid just like that, because there's nobody more ruthless when it comes to personnel decisions like with than Bill.
You know what? Believe it or not, I give Brady credit for it. I do. I give Brady credit for it. Because if you remember during the preseason, all the times in the preseason that we talked about, Brady wants the reps. He doesn't want Garoppolo on the field. He's freezing him out. Oh, I thought that was so petty and childish.
Yeah.
Oh, you big baby.
I know there was
yes,
times
he's there to take your job. Does that make him the devil? The guy who's the devil is the guy you hate now, the coach. And I mean in Brady's mind. That if Brady looks at it and says, of course Garoppolo's there to take your job. But the guy that's going to give it to him is the guy you got to convince. So if Brady didn't take it out on Garoppolo, I actually give him credit for that. I do. I look at that and say, well, yeah, I'm impressed by that.
But do you think those phone calls were coming from a good place or a place of almost cattiness of, okay, I got to see what he's up to so that I know that I got to be working just as hard because I could lose my gig to this kid?
Believe it or not, Murray, maybe I'm an idiot. I think they came from a good place.
Huh.
I do, and I'll tell you why.
I'm the negative one on this. Okay.
Yeah, because I think Brady was going to work out. I think Brady's going to work his ass off anyway. You follow me?
Sure.
Like, now, maybe he had slid a little. It certainly the numbers in his career had slid before Garoppolo got here, so that was part of it. I mean, he had slid a little. But the fact that after Garoppolo got here, he would call him, I don't know, it tells me on some level Brady was trying to do the right thing. And I generally say if someone's trying to do the right thing, you give them some credit for that. So I give Brady a little bit of credit for that, for trying to do the right thing quickly. Neil in Somerville, go fast.
Yeah, Maz. I mean, I almost fell off the chair. You're giving Brady credit for something.
Neil, I don't hate the guy, despite what people think, but go ahead.
How can you hate the guy? 7 Super Bowls, 5 wins. I mean, you can't hate the guy. But it's a bad thing if you don't show up for practice, but it's also a bad thing if he shows up early. That's not being fair, is it?
Neil, all I'm saying is that someone like you will say, oh, Brady has shown up early. That's a great thing. But you won't say it's a bad thing if he doesn't show up at voluntary workouts. So I just don't see how one thing can be good, but it can't be bad. Like, if you're talking about the same thing, showing up early or not showing up early. If you show up early and it's a good thing, then by definition, not showing up is a bad thing. That's all. I just feel like, listen, I understand your loyalty and support for Tom Brady. I get it. I get it. He's the greatest football player who's ever lived. He's probably the greatest athlete in the history of Boston sports. Hell, he's the Jordan of the NFL. You should love him. But can we just call it like we see it? In the past, you'd celebrate him for showing up at these voluntary workouts. And like the comments like the one that Matthew Slater made to the Herald over the weekend. Obviously, as a leader, you want to lead by example. You being present and showing the guys the way is important. That's important. But then he didn't show up in OTAs and everyone says, no big deal. So it's either important or it isn't. So now he's here. I get it. My issue is less with Brady and more with those of you who tie yourselves in the hero worship. Let's just genuflect at everything the guy does. And yes, I thought they should have kept Garoppolo. Okay? It doesn't mean I hate Brady, despite what you think. I want to touch on the British Open, believe it or not. We'll do that next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thank you.
going to be mostly Patriots and Red Sox today. We'll get to the Red Sox in just a bit, but I do want to touch on the British Open because, I like the majors. I'm sorry. Felger would probably shoot me if he were here right now, but I do think the British Open's worth touching on. And I asked both of you guys this morning in email exchange, did you watch the British Open? And surprisingly, Murray, you said yes.
I did. I only tuned in yesterday, though, just to watch the failure of Tiger Woods, which I was rooting for and thankfully got, because I will never root for Tiger Woods, mostly because I think he's an emotionless robot. And I know the same can be said about Tom Brady, because I tweeted as such yesterday. People are like, oh, are you talking about your quarterback? It has nothing to do with the philandering or anything like that. I just think that he's, I don't know, a fraud. I don't like how he's dealt with the media and the fans in the past. If he embraced the a-hole that he is, I would root for him like I did back in the late 90s and early aughts when he was the best golfer on the planet. Now, he can't fail enough in my eyes, so I loved what happened yesterday.
So, Murray, when he took the lead, when he was on the 11th tee and he was actually in the lead, you didn't find yourself going, ooh, this would be a good story?
No. No, the
not
better
at all.
Story.
Not a little. Not a smidge.
No, if anything, at that point, I tweeted, this a-hole's going to win this thing because we live in a hell world now where everything that's not supposed to happen happens in sports. Like the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, Cleveland tasting success in a championship. I figured, I was like, oh, you know what? Just to spite me, now Tiger Woods is actually going to win this thing. Thankfully, the wheels fell off and he failed.
Marshall, don't you like Murray's especially sunny disposition of late?
I got to tell you, how I'm painted as being one of the negative people at this station, I don't know where that comes from.
It's because just going to continue as I get my retinas burned out here on a daily basis.
I have never been the less.
But Jim, you look so dapper on television.
Yeah. No, Jimmy's in a good mood too today. He was happy before the show.
I got to tell you, the whole lot of you.
You wear sunglasses honest, like Zoe does.
I'm going to have to.
The whole lot of you. I come in here. I'm a happy guy. I'm all smiles and talk. And the whole lot of you are just in a piss poor mood. And yes, I watched the golf yesterday. I happened to be sitting in the seat, so I was paid to watch it. But I am no fan of Tiger Woods either. But I can at least admit that it would have been a good story if he won. Let him have that one and then never win again. That would have been fine by me. I also sat here with a Mike Flynn who was beside himself with glee and was nervous like a bride on his wedding day about Tiger Woods. And I said, you know, he's going to finish 3 shots back. You know, he's going to end. Oh, yeah, shut up, Marshall. Now, I'm not saying that to toot my own horn as much as it's Tiger Woods. He just doesn't have what he used to have anymore, and I didn't think he could hold it together down the stretch, and he couldn't.
Okay, so look, after that whole thing that happened with him, you know, years ago with Elin Nordgren and the Thanksgiving and the 7-iron in the back windshield, the whole 9 yards, I said, forget it. I have a hard time rooting for this guy anymore. However, yesterday, I have to admit, I did, on the 11th tee, find myself saying, oh my God, what a story this would be.
Well, him being in contention is what made it watchable. I mean, otherwise, would I have paid attention? Absolutely not. No, it's because he actually could have won the damn thing. I was like, all right, I got something to root against here. Let me watch.
So to your point, Murray, okay, and I read this online just before we came on. According to NBC Sports and the Golf Channel, which televised the Open, this year's tournament drew a 5.0 overnight figure. That is the highest number for the British Open since 2006. Won by
Tiger Woods
at Royal Liverpool, which also drew a 5.0. Only topped by the 2000 Open at St. Andrews, who won?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods won his first claret jug to complete the career Grand Slam. So according to NBC Sports, coverage was up 38% from 2017. So from a year ago, 38%. If you remember, Spieth won last year at Royal Birkdale. Coverage peaked from 1 to 130. Okay, with that slot getting almost a 7 and got a 6.74. Highest ratings for a non-Masters major since the 2015 PGA Championship. Now, I don't know why I hate the PGA Championship, but that's another story. So, 1 to 130, which is basically towards the end of Tiger's round. So, people wanted to see Tiger play it out, play the last three holes, walk up the 18th fairway. He still had a shot at that stage. It was a long shot by the time he got to 18. Because on the 11th tee, he had the lead. Then he double bogeyed, and that was it. And that was pretty much the end of Tiger. But there's no question, he drove the interest.
You mean people weren't tuning in for Danilo Gallinari or whoever it was that won the damn thing?
Francesco Molinari, Murray. And I'm glad you brought him up, because you should not say his name with such disdain. For those of us,
I was rooting for him towards the end.
For those of us who have roots in the Mediterranean, Murray, let me ask you a quick question. Name the greatest international Italian athlete of all time. Stop. You did. Okay. There isn't one.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. I mean, I suppose you could say Rocky Marciano.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, but he's not really from the boot, is he?
I think he was born here, right? I mean, I don't even know, but he's not what I would call an Italian. He was an American. He's from Brockton, for crying out loud. Marciano doesn't count. So I go to Molinari.
Gotta be like a race car driver or somebody.
Bruno San Martino?
No. So now, me personally, I would tell you that the reason why no Italian athlete has distinguished himself over the course of history is because they have what I would call palline. Little balls. Palline. Okay? Or palline piccolo. Little balls. The Italians have the little balls. Molinari? He's got the big balls. Like yesterday, watching the guy out there, I mean, he played the best round of anybody in the tournament. So to my fellow countrymen, we are very proud of you. Jordan Spieth, faccia brutta, which means ugly face. It's just an Italian insult. But big balls for Molinari. No have Pallini Piccolo. 617-779-0985. I do want to get to the Red Sox. Marshall, get you caught up here on the headlines. There were two significant stories to me with the Red Sox over the weekend. We'll touch on those when we come back.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.